When my nephew Chase and my niece Haley were quite a bit younger, I remember various occasions when somebody would do something for them or give them some kind of a gift, and it was necessary to follow up with the question, "Now what do you say?" That prompting was intended to get them to respond with, "Thank you." Many of you may remember your parents doing the same thing to you at some point, or you may even be doing that with your own children. I remember my mother and father having to do that with me. And the point that our parents was trying to get across to us, and the point you're trying to get across to your children, is that when somebody does something for you, the appropriate thing to do, the polite thing to do, is to say thank you. Saying thank you is good manners. Well, it's been said that saying thank you is more than good manners. It's good spirituality. And the Bible actually teaches us this truth in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 18 through 21. Please turn to that text with me. In this passage, the Apostle Paul actually links thanksgiving in the heart of the believer to a work that the Spirit of God is doing in that individual's life. In the larger context of chapter 5, verses 15 through 21, the Apostle Paul is addressing the wise life in contrast to the foolish life. And one of the elements of living the wise life, a life that is pleasing to God, we see in verse 18, Paul says, "Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." One of the elements of being, one of the ways of living out a wise life is the command that Paul gives to believers in Ephesus that involves being filled with the Spirit of God. Now, when you look at this word "fill" in this context, the word "fill" actually carries the sense of being, of control, of domination. So we could actually render this text as be controlled by, be dominated by the Spirit of God. John MacArthur explains it this way. He says, "The idea is one of keeping yourself constantly filled as you yield moment by moment to the leading of the Spirit. It fits perfectly with the process of walking by the Spirit." What we have in this text when Paul commands believers to be filled with the Holy Spirit, it's this idea of the believer every day yielding, submitting himself to the Spirit of God who lives within him. And MacArthur goes on to say, "so that every emotion, thought, and act of the will is under his direction." When Paul says be filled with the Spirit, there is not this idea as you would find in Pentecostalism or charismatic theology that Paul is saying you need to pray for more of the Holy Spirit. When you get saved, you get all the Holy Spirit there is. I have the same Holy Spirit that you have if you have repented of your sins and trusted in Jesus Christ. We all have the same Spirit. There is no such thing in the New Testament as a second blessing. Being filled with the Spirit is not speaking about getting more of the Spirit. When Paul says be filled with the Spirit, the idea is that of the Holy Spirit getting more of you. You see, there are some of us in whom the Holy Spirit is reigning more. There are some of us who have yielded our lives more completely to the Holy Spirit than others. And this concept of being filled by the Spirit, it's so important because Paul tells us that it has certain outcomes. There are certain overflowings that come out of the heart of the individual who is filled, controlled, empowered by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. Verses 18 through 21 in this text are actually one sentence. When Paul says be filled with the Spirit, we can actually understand the sense of the text as be filled with the Spirit, which results in. And we have four different results of being filled with the Spirit. First of all, we see one of the outcomes of being filled with the Spirit is speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. The person who is being led by God's Spirit is a person who is going to be speaking God's Word to his brothers or sisters in Christ to build them up. He's an individual who is going to be speaking the gospel to make it known to lost people that they might be saved. A person filled with the Spirit speaks God's word. Number two, Paul says, be filled with the Spirit with the result of singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Have you ever been around people who are just always singing unto the Lord? Paul is telling us that's one of the evidences that they are being led by the Spirit of God. God has put a song in their heart, so they sing unto God. There's a third outcome. Look in verse 21. And being subject to one another in the fear of Christ. A person who is yielded to God's Spirit, a person who's being controlled by God's Spirit, they will be willing to submit themselves, to voluntarily yield themselves to their brothers and sisters in Christ. They're willing to take second place. They don't have to be first. Their preferences are not the most important thing. They're willing to deny themselves for the betterment of their brothers or sisters in Christ. That's a third evidence of being filled with the Spirit. There's a fourth evidence, and that's the one I want us to look at this morning in light of Thanksgiving holiday that is approaching this coming week, and that's found in verse 20. Here, Paul says, one of the outcomes of being filled with the Spirit is the giving of thanks. The verb here, to be thankful, it actually means to express appreciation for benefits or blessings. It means to give thanks, to render thanks, to return thanks. It means to be grateful. Thanksgiving is a deep expression of gratitude and appreciation to God that we vocalize to Him. And Paul highlights in this text four aspects of thanksgiving that characterizes the believer who is being led by the Spirit of God. And I want us to look at those four aspects of thanksgiving this morning. First of all, Paul highlights the occasion of thanksgiving. In other words, Paul answers the question, when does the Christian who is filled with God's Spirit, who is being led by the Spirit of God, when does he or she give thanks to God? Well, Paul answers that question with an adverb in verse 20. Notice what the text says, giving thanks always. Most of your Bible translations are going to have this adverb translated as always. You can also translate it as at all times. When Paul says the believer who is led by the Spirit gives thanks always and at all times, he's giving us this understanding that thanksgiving is something that is to be ongoing in the life of the believer. Thanksgiving is not to be something that is infrequent or intermittent. It's not to be something that is merely seasonal or periodic or situational. Paul is telling us here when he says at all times and always, he is saying that the believer who is being led by the Spirit of God has a consistency, a constancy, a continual thanksgiving that is flowing forth from their heart. You say, you mean to tell me I am to be thankful at all times? That's what the Bible tells us. And Paul backs this up further in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Mark that verse down in your Bibles. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. When Paul says in everything give thanks, he is saying that in every situation and in every circumstance, you and I are to have the attitude of gratitude to God. It is God's will. That is the thing that pleases God for you and I to be thankful. At all times. That means at the start of your day. That means at the middle part of your day. That means at the end of your day. At all times. That means when we come into God's house to worship, we are to be thankful. Psalm 100 verse 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving, enter into His courts with praise. When you go to pray, you are to enter into God's presence with thanksgiving. You know this text, Philippians chapter 4 verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but with prayer and supplication, and get this, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God which passes all understanding will comfort your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. At all times, that means we are to give thanks to God in the good times and in the bad times. We are to give thanks to God in times of prosperity and in times of poverty. We are to give thanks to God in times of blessing and in times of challenge. We are to give thanks to God in times when of understanding, when we get it. And even in times of perplexity, when it's over our heads and it makes no sense to us. We are to give thanks to God at all times. In health and in sickness. In times of success and in times of failure. In times of pleasure and in times of misfortune. In times of comfort and in times of sorrow. You are to give thanks to God in times of prominence and in times of obscurity, when no one notices you and you feel like you are not known to anyone. Give thanks to God. G.K. Chesterton, you may remember that name. He was a famous English novelist. He once made this statement. He said, "You say grace before meals," and the word grace back in this day, it had the connotation of giving thanks. He said, "All right, but I say grace before the concert and before the opera. I say grace before the play. I say grace before I open a book. I say grace before sketching, before painting, before swimming, before fencing, before boxing, before walking, before playing, before dancing. And I say grace before I dip the pen in ink." G.K. Chesterton understood what it meant to be a Christian who was thankful to God in all situations and in every circumstance. It was not just occasional to him. He understood that God expected us to have a heart of gratitude no matter what we were doing, no matter what we were going through. What's a practical way that you can express thanksgiving to God? Always make sure that your time that you spend with the Lord every day in personal devotion includes time of prayer with thanksgiving. I want to encourage you this week as we approach Thanksgiving. When you start off your prayer time, don't start off with requests. Don't start off with petitions. I want you to start off with a time of thanking God every day. Almost 99% of the times when I wake up and I start my day off early with the Lord, just as I did this morning, this is what I do. I say, "Lord, I am coming to you with a heart of gratitude." Start thanking God every day this week. A practical way to express thanksgiving is to include it in your prayer time. So Paul here, he speaks first of all about the occasion of thanksgiving. Does the Spirit-filled believer give thanks to God? At all times, always. But Paul points out a second aspect of thanksgiving in the life of the believer who is filled with the Spirit of God. Secondly, he talks about the scope of thanksgiving. Here Paul answers the question, what does the Spirit-filled believer give thanks to God for? You see, we have to ask this question, just how far do we take this Thanksgiving thing? What are we to say thanks to God for in our lives? Well, Paul makes that clear with the prepositional phrase that follows. Look in verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things. This prepositional phrase, beginning with for all things, it defines the content of what we are to thank God for. The adjective all things, it means everything. It brings into focus completeness, wholeness, totality. It basically, in a sense, tells us there are to be no limits, no restrictions upon what we thank God for. But let me make one qualification. Obviously, in this context, there is a qualification. John Stott points it out. Listen to his words. "Although the text reads that we are to give thanks always and for everything, we must not press these words literally, for we cannot thank God absolutely for everything, particularly blatant evil. So then, the everything for which we are to give thanks to God must be qualified by its context, namely, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father. Our thanksgiving is to be for everything which is consistent with the loving fatherhood of God and the self-revelation He has given us in Jesus Christ." So the all things here does not include those things which are contrary to the perfect and holy will of God. We do not thank God for sin. But outside of that, The Bible says we are to thank God for everything. I did a quick search throughout the Old and New Testament. I want you to listen to some of the things that the Bible tells us to be thankful for. We are to be thankful for the wisdom and strength that God provides, Daniel 2:23. We are to be thankful for the fact that God hears our prayers, John 11:41. We're to be thankful for the grace that God shows to other people, Colossians chapter 1, verse 4. We're to be thankful for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Do you know that God expects you to be thankful for your Lakeland family? I want you to know this morning, as your pastor, I am thankful for you. I am thankful for my brothers and sisters in Christ. God says to be thankful for our family in the Lord. We're to be thankful for people's obedient response to God's word, Romans 6:17, 1 Thessalonians 2:13. When people walk this aisle and they make public a decision, or when they are in their pews and they are dealing with God, you and I are to lift up our voices and say, God, thank you that people heard your word and responded to it. We're to be thankful for people's response to his word. We're to be thankful for people's growth in grace and love, 2 Thessalonians 1:3. This one I focused on this week with my staff, if you read the bulletin on the front page. As ministers, we are to be thankful for God's calling upon our life, entrusting us with the gospel and the leadership of his church. Paul says that in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. I want you to know this morning, I am thankful to be your pastor. Paul tells us, we are to be thankful for the deliverance that God gives us from our enemies. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 50. We're to be thankful for our political leaders and the leadership that they give us. Acts 24, verse 3. We're to be thankful for the goodness of God and His love. 1 Chronicles 16:34, Ezra 3:11. We are to be thankful for God's wonderful work. Psalm 107, verse 8. We are to be thankful for the victory that God has given us over death and the grave because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are to be thankful for the victory of the gospel that Jesus Christ has overcome sin. He's given us a way to the Father, making it possible for our sins to be forgiven and that we might have eternal life. We're to be thankful that for whatever we do in word or in deed, Paul says, whatever you speak, whatever you do in your body, you are to be grateful to God. We're to be grateful to God, 1 Timothy 2:1, for all men. You may not like everybody, but Paul says that God wants you to be thankful for everyone. We're to be thankful for God's gift of Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 9:15. We're to be thankful for others coming to salvation in Jesus, 2 Thessalonians 2:13. When somebody comes and gives their life to Jesus, Lakeland Baptist Church, we are going to celebrate it, and we're going to thank God that somebody has passed from darkness and into light. We're to thank God. The Bible tells us, and this is going to be hard for some of you, for the trials of life. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 5, because God intends them for your good. We are to be thankful, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 7 through 10, for the difficult matters that come into our lives. That's just a quick search. The Bible is full of things that we are to be thankful for. Has it ever crossed your mind? I heard this question asked several weeks ago. That the things you take for granted, someone else is praying for. We are to lift up a heart of gratitude to God. The old hymn writer, Johnson Oatman, back in the late 1800s, the song that he wrote gives us such practical wisdom for today. Many of you know it by heart. The song starts out, "When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will keep singing as the days go by." And the refrain, the chorus of that song is, "Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done." The point that Paul is getting across to us in this text is that God expects you and I to be thankful for everything. That means the small things, and that means the big things. This morning in my prayer time with the Lord, you may find it comical, but there are a lot of little things that I thank God for very often. One of the things I always thank God for in the mornings, it seems, is a cup of coffee. I just love the taste of coffee. I really appreciate the fact that God gives me coffee to drink every morning. I thank God that I have toothpaste and a toothbrush in the mornings. I'm honest to God, serious with you. I tell God, Lord, thank you this morning that I had a toothpaste and toothbrush. And you say, is that really that important? Well, I'm telling you, most of you would not want to get close to me if I didn't have those things. I thank God this morning for the fact that I had some hair gel. You see, let me tell you why that's important. Any of you ever watched the show The Little Rascals growing up? Well, God blessed me with an alfalfa. I've got pictures. They're hidden away in a vault that no one will ever find. I don't know why my mother allowed me to go to town looking this way, but Melody can attest, if I don't put hair gel in, I've got the one right in the middle. I've got a double cowlick, and it's just something, I call it a cursing, a blessing. It's something that I have to deal with, and I thank God that I have hair gel. When I get up in the mornings and I have a time of just gratitude before the Lord, I try to just think in my mind categorically. And I start off with provisional needs. And I say, Lord, thank you for these necessities of life that you've met. And I name them one by one. Then I'll move on to material needs. And I'll say, God, you have given us so much stuff. And I thank God for them. I've got a 1995 F-150 four-wheel drive. My wife always says, why do you go into all of that? Because I'm proud of that truck. It's 20 years old. But do you know what? Even though it's 20 years old, needs a lot of work, I am deeply grateful in my heart that God has given me a vehicle to drive. And I thank God for it. So I thank God for my material blessings. I thank God for my physical blessings. I thank God that I have seeing eyes and hearing ears. I thank God that I have a speaking mouth. I have an understanding mind. I thank Him that I have strength in my body. I thank Him for those physical things. I thank God for relational blessings. I thank God for this beautiful woman that He brought into my life 3 years ago, or 5 years ago. We've been married for two. We dated for three prior to that. That's where I was confused. But I thank God for her. I thank God for my parents. I thank God for my in-laws. I thank God now for the wonderful staff that He's given me. I thank God for my Lakeland family. I thank God for my friends. I thank God for relational blessings. And then I thank God for spiritual blessings. I go back to the cross and I thank God for salvation and what He did 2,000 years ago in Jesus Christ. I thank God that He worked in my heart, convicted me of sin, and opened my eyes to the truth that I was separated from Him and destined to spend an eternity of hell if I did not trust in Christ and receive forgiveness of my sins. I thank God for the calling that He's put upon my life to lead the church and to preach the gospel. I just go through spiritual blessings. I thank God this week for the opportunities that I had to talk with people, to invite them to church, to share the gospel. I just break things down and I thank God categorically for so many things. What I want you to do this week, as you start off every day in prayer, thanking God, not getting to petitions, not getting to requests or any kinds of complaints, I want you to count your blessings. I want you to name off specific things to God that you are thankful for. And I'm calling all the men out in this church, all of you who are called to be the spiritual leaders of your home, before Thanksgiving gets here this week, I want you to step up and I want you to lead your families, your wife and your children, in a time of thanksgiving to God. You give them each an opportunity to say what they are thankful for. And then you vocalize in front of them the things that you are thankful that God has done. Lead them. Show them what it looks like to give thanks to God. You see, in this text, Paul tells us the occasion of thanksgiving at all times, always. He tells us the scope of thanksgiving. All things, everything, we are to give thanks to God. Paul also moves on and tells us the object of thanksgiving. The object of thanksgiving answers the question, who are we to give thanksgiving to? Notice what Paul says. Be filled with the Spirit, giving thanks always for all things to God, even the Father. Paul tells us that we as believers are to direct our thanksgiving to God. You say, why are we to direct our thanksgiving to God? Write this text down. Romans chapter 11, verse 36. Paul says this there, for from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. We are to acknowledge God because, as Paul tells us in Romans 11, 36, without God, you and I would have nothing. All things have come to us through him. Did you get that? You would have absolutely nothing if it was not for God's goodness to give it to you. Paul says, when he says from him and through him and to him are all things, he means exactly what he says. Every single thing you have, every single thing we take for granted, God has given it to us. It has come from him. And we are to give thanks to him. When we say thank you, God, we are acknowledging him as the one who is sovereign, as the one who has the possession of all the resources, but he has been so kind and so good to entrust it to us. We are to give thanks to God, but notice how Paul describes God. He says, giving thanks to God, the Father. This is a relational term. Not everyone can call God Father. See, the Bible tells us that while we are all God's children by creation, we do not all have a personal relationship with God. Only those who have come to a knowledge of their sin, they have confessed that sin, and they have trusted in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection as payment for their sin, does God call his son or his daughter. And when Paul uses this term Father, it depicts God in intimate, relational, loving and benevolent terms. It pictures God as the one who loves us perfectly and always does what is in our best interests. Over the last several years, the older you get, when you think back upon what your parents did for you, it just means so much more to you. There's hardly a week that goes by when I don't stop and I think about all that my dad did to help me be a success. I think about all the long hours that my dad put in. Sometimes my dad had to put a bed in his office. He was an electrical supervisor at Nucor Steel because he had to work so many hours to keep his job. I think about all the hours my dad worked to provide for me, my mom, and my brother. I think about all of the things that he did to make sure that all of our needs were met, and not just our needs, the things that he did to make sure that we even got the desires of our hearts. Those things that we didn't have to have, but those things that we wanted. I think about all the things that my dad did to be a presence in my life, to be an encouragement in my life, and to show me that he loved me. And in my heart, I just have to say, thank you, Dad. I cannot imagine not saying thank you to my father for all that he has done for me. How much more, if we will say thank you to an earthly father, should we say thank you to our heavenly father? Listen to what Hebrews chapter 12 says about God in verses 9 through 10. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? Our earthly fathers disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, But God, our Father, disciplines us for our own good so that we may share in His holiness. James chapter 1, verse 17 goes on to say, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Do you know what that text, those texts are telling us? That our Heavenly Father is perfect towards us. He never misses it. He never makes a mistake. He never checks out. He never allows anything into our life that is not for our best. If I can say thank you to my dad who messed up and who blew it on several occasions growing up, how much more should I be able to say, God, thank you for everything that you've done for me, because you never mess up. You're perfectly loving. You're perfectly good. I want to encourage you as you go throughout your week and as you have time to say thank you to God for the various things in your life, think about God as your Heavenly Father. He loves you. He cares for you. Every good thing that has come into your life is because He is your Heavenly Father who has given you the best that you deserve. And then finally, Paul deals with one final aspect of thanksgiving. He deals with the manner of thanksgiving. In other words, how are Spirit-filled believers to give thanks to God? Paul tells us in this text, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says when we give thanks to God, we are to give thanks to Him in the name of our Lord. When the Bible says in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to do something in the name of Jesus is to do something that is consistent with His work, consistent with His will, consistent with His life. So I think there are at least three applications of this text when Paul is saying we are to give thanks to God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. First of all, the way in which we are to give thanks to God is a manner in which we are to give thanks with Jesus' work in mind. When you and I approach God, the Bible tells us we are to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. And what that means is we are to keep in mind that we would not be able to give thanks to God were it not for Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago humbling Himself, coming into this world, living a perfect life, and willingly sacrificing Himself to take our penalty of death upon Himself, to take our sin and to pay the price of it, to remove the dividing wall through His death and resurrection so that we could be forgiven and that wall of separation would be removed and we could have a relationship with God. So when we go to God with thanks, we are to go to God in the name of Jesus, remembering what He did for us, and we are to be confident. Because Jesus came and He conquered, you can lift up your voice to God in prayer with thanksgiving, and you can be assured of this fact, God will hear you. Go to God in the name of Jesus, which tells us the manner of our thanksgiving is to be consistent in the name of His work, what He has done for us on the cross. And then number two, it means we're to give thanks to Jesus with His character in mind. You see, the Bible tells us, as John Stott's pointed out, we are to only give thanks to God for those things which are consistent with His perfect and holy will. So going to God in the name of Jesus means we're to give thanks for those things that please God. Let me give you an example. Many of you know that 3 years ago, I lost my younger brother, Jonathan. We were 18 months apart. My brother was a police officer in our hometown in Northeast Arkansas. He had a traffic stop one evening, and things turned badly very quickly, and my brother was murdered that evening. There has never been a time since that event where I have ever said, God, thank you for the murder of my brother. I have never thanked God for the fact that someone took the life of my brother, that he spilled innocent blood. That would be contrary to the Word of God that He has given us in Scripture. Do you know what I have done? I thank God in the midst of the pain. I thank God for His presence in the midst of my hurt. I thank God for what He's taught me through that. I thank God for the things that He has done through that sin. But I've never thanked God for it, because that would be contrary to the character of Christ. So when we come to God in thanksgiving in the name of the Lord Jesus, it means to do it with His work in mind. It means to do it with His character in mind. And then finally, it means to do it with His example in mind. As you read through the New Testament, you'll find that there are several instances when Jesus offers thanks to the Heavenly Father. Let me give you a few examples. Matthew chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus thanked His Father for divine revelation. Matthew 15, 36, Jesus, before eating, He thanked His Father for food. Matthew chapter 26, verse 27, Jesus thanked His Father for the implications of His suffering and His death. John chapter 11, verse 41, Jesus thanked His Father for the fact that when He prayed, the Father heard Him. And we see in Hebrews chapter 12 that Jesus goes to the cross with joy in His heart, thanking God that though He was having to suffer, that He was able to secure salvation for you and I. When we go to God with thanksgiving in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are doing it with Jesus' example in mind. Jesus gave us an example to follow. So when you and I give thanksgiving, we are imitating our perfect Lord and Savior. We are to give thanks because Jesus gave thanks. And Jesus did it perfectly in all things. So you and I are to strive to be a people who are submitting our lives to the Spirit of God so that we can be more like Him, giving thanks in all things for everything. I am honestly amazed at how good God has been to me. Mr. Mooney, you and Opal, Melody and I enjoyed the time we had with you this past Thursday evening, and I want you to know that I agree with the statement that you made. God is the best thing that has ever happened to me. God has been better to me than what I have deserved. And my heart this morning is full of gratitude. This December, I am ending a long academic journey, one that has taken me 7 years to complete. Shortly before making the transition from Georgia out here to Texas, I took some time, about a day or two, to sit down and to write some much-needed thank yous, because I realized that I did not get to this point on my own, and there were some people that I needed to say thank you to. One individual that was on my heart to thank was Dr. Paige Patterson, the president at Southwestern Seminary, where I will be graduating in December. I had several talking points in my letter where I wanted to say, Dr. Patterson, I appreciate this. And I spelled it out for him. Dr. Patterson surprisingly wrote me back. And this is what he said in part. Dear Brother Donald, your very kind and thoughtful letter is in hand. Thank you profoundly for it. Thank you profoundly for it. It means a great deal to me. And then he goes on to say this. There were 10 lepers that were healed by Jesus, but only one returned to express gratitude to Him. I know exactly which one you would have been had you been there. May we, the people here at Lakeland Baptist Church, not be a people who fail to give God thanks. Paul tells us that one of the evidences of being led by God's Spirit is that the believer has a thankful heart towards God. You say, Donald, I'm a Christian, but I can tell you, I've not been very thankful lately. I can't even remember the last time I stopped to say thanks to God. The Bible tells us then, you are a Christian who's not submitting your life to God's Spirit to be led by Him. We're going to have invitation time now, and I want to give you an opportunity. The altars are open, or you can do business with God in your seat, whatever, where you need to say, God, I am sorry for not submitting my life to your Holy Spirit to be led by Him. I am sorry that I have taken for granted who you are and what you have done. And I ask for your forgiveness. And you need every day to start telling the Holy Spirit to take control of your life, to get into the Word of God, to seek God in prayer, submit your life to Him, and let God produce that work in your heart. The thanksgiving that we see in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20 is not something you can manufacture. It's not something that you can produce. It is a radical kind of thanksgiving. Listen to what Kent Hughes says. He says, "Thanklessness in the heart of a believer indicates a life that is missing the fullness of the Holy Spirit. But on the other hand, a positive, thankful attitude announces the presence of the Holy Spirit. If you have not been thankful to God, today is the day to say, God, I want to start having a thankful heart. And maybe you're here with us this morning, and you're not thankful to God because you don't know God. I want you to understand something this morning. God has been so good to you. The Bible tells us that our greatest problem is a sin problem. You've disobeyed a holy God, and the Bible tells us one day when you die, you're going to stand before that God and you're going to give an account. You're going to be judged for your sin. And because your sin was not forgiven, you will be cast away from the presence of God and you will pay the punishment for your sins in a literal hell for all of eternity. But God's been good. In the place of that bad news, the good thing that God did is He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into this world. He lived the life you could not live. He died the death that you deserve, paying the price for your sin, suffering on the cross. And He was raised from the dead, overcoming sin, death, and hell. And the Bible tells us if you will come to a point of repentance, sorrow in your heart for the sin you've committed against God, and say, I'm willing to trust what Jesus did for me. I want to give Him my life. The Bible says God will erase your sins. He will give you forgiveness and the promise of eternal life and abundant life in the here and now. As our worship team comes for a time of invitation, the altar is open. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank You this morning for this opportunity to gather together. God, we thank You that we have so much to be thankful for. It is our prayer this morning, God, that we will have hearts, as Paul speaks about in Ephesians chapter 5, that are overflowing with evidence of being led by the Spirit, which results in thanksgiving. God, help us this morning to be thankful for who You are, for what You have done. And Lord, if there is anyone here this morning who's not come to know You, God, I pray that today will be the day of their salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.